Thank you, Bob. It's Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, a new exhibit's on display at the Museum of Broadcast Communications here in Chicago. It's called Watching TV in the 90s. It's written by Wally Pedrajic. Pedrajic's the co-author of the book Watching TV, which is the authority on all things that have ever been on television. It really is. It's like it'll hurt you if that book falls on your foot. What do we got? We got Friends. We got Seinfeld. We have news, the O.J. Simpson trial. There's so much that happened in the 90s. And really, I mean, was it the last time that TV held so much power? Wally Pedrajic, welcome to the show. Good to see you, my man.
It's always great to see you.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk. I think this is great because it really is the, let's start with the premise, the idea that you guys are putting on this exhibit, because the 90s were the last time that we all watched TV the same way.
Yeah. I mean, that's the key thing, the same way. Obviously, now you can pick up your phone, you can pick up your tablet, you can go online and catch almost anything you want to catch, including old TV shows.
Right.
But back then, even though we had lots of cable channels, you had lots of choices, it still all got funneled through the same means. So if you were talking about watching Seinfeld or watching Friends, you had to find a TV.
Right.
And when you were talking about it the next day, well, you were talking about it the next day.
Right.
That is,
it was a relatable, shareable experience. It wasn't something that, you know, even with, we see the season finales of Game of Thrones, people can watch, you know, DVR that stuff, watch it 3 days later for it. We're not watching it at the same time.
Exactly. And what happened there is, there was a different pacing for the way you digested television. You actually had time to savor it. One of the things that I take particular delight in preparing this exhibit at the museum was we were looking for artifacts to put into the display cases. I know we have three main display cases, one about politics, one about The Simpsons, and one about Beanie Babies. But there's also what I call the timeline artifacts. And there's a lot of magazines in there. Basically, it was still a print era.
Yeah,
that right. is, we were still, sure, we were TV people, we're media people, but it meant something if you were on the cover of a magazine. It meant something that you got that kind of coverage. And also, the technology we were working with seemed really great at the time, but it's almost funny to look at now. I mean, we start the exhibit of technology with a touch tone phone that switches from pulse dial to touch to tone dial. And it's just this desktop. And someone looked at it and said, oh my God, I haven't seen that for ages. Or I still have one of those in my office.
Right, right. Well, there's something about it. I mean, to think about those shows, you mentioned some Friends, Seinfeld, Frasier, even to the to you know shows like Sex and the City were in the 90s.
Exactly.
You think of those as contemporary television. I do, at least. I think of Seinfeld and maybe that has to do with reruns and the way that it's always
reruns
on television.
Have a, yeah.
But to think about it in terms of technology and in terms of how far, I mean, it's only been, you know, two decades. It might as well be the Stone Ages.
Well, as a matter of fact, that's what's so beautiful about choosing the 90s. It's that it really is old enough to be nostalgic. And yet it's still fresh enough that the people involved are still around and that the technology that might have started then has evolved. So it seems like we're still living with it, even though objectively speaking, that's like a quarter of a century ago. That's a long time ago. If you were someone who was a baby boomer, say if it was 1962 and someone said, oh, go back 25 years ago.
Yeah.
That's forever ago.
Right.
I mean, come on. You're kidding. And yet we feel that it's not quite that far away. And part of it has been the technology stretching the life of there are so many people who can quote Seinfeld. For instance, a chapter and verse, and you know they weren't there for the first episode.
Right.
You know they weren't there for the first time around, but it's part of the DNA now.
It's funny to look at some of you gave me a sort of cheat sheet, favorite comedies from the 90s. There's so much on here to think about, you know, everything from the Ben Stiller Show, Drew Carey, Ellen, Everybody Loves Raymond, of course, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Hanging with Mr. Cooper, made the list, always a good one to make the list. But to look at these shows, they all do, they have this this real sort of lasting impact. I mean, maybe sans Hanging with Mr. Cooper, but the ones that I mentioned, I mean, those are shows that almost you think about in the same breath as some of the best television that's ever been made.
And of course, that's the point. And in fact, to slide a little bit sideways to my book, Watching TV, one of the approaches we take is no matter what era we're in, we treat the shows, the news coverage, the dramas, the comedies with respect, because at that point in time, they were worthy of the respect. This was the best that the people could do mm-hmm. and were proud to do in the medium. So the thing about the 90s is there was a definite sense of, I want to call it self-indulgence, skepticism, cockiness almost. This was pre-September 11th.
Yeah.
So you had this like, let's do Shark Week. I mean, let's do something that, objectively speaking, is really silly and really self-indulgent, but why not?
Right.
I mean, Seinfeld is all about self-indulgence.
kind of how it ended, yeah.
And so is Friends. It's like we're just totally focused, navel-gazing in our world, but that was okay. And then you had things like The Simpsons, for instance.
Right.
One of the reasons they get their own display case is they seem to almost have transcended time. I mean, well, that's when they started.
Not only that, but I mean, you talk about them being groundbreakers. How much? I mean, you think of the shows we just mentioned, Seinfeld and Simpsons. How much in the 90s of 90s television are considered groundbreaking television in the history of the entire spectrum?
That's the other astonishing thing. Is you look at something like, getting out of comedy for a second, you look at something like The Sopranos toward the end of the decade. You look at the Dick Wolf approach to storytelling, to procedural storytelling. Mm-hmm. Those would reverberate for decades to come. People want to do another Sopranos.
Right.
Dick Wolf is still doing Dick Wolf and doing it very well. And saying, look, this is how it works. And we proved it in the 90s. In fact, there's a nice book ending. Law and Order starts in 1990, and Law and Order, first official spinoff, Special Victims Unit, is 1999. So it's like, okay, I had 10 years to get this straight. Now look out, because all of it's coming out.
When was Twin Peaks? Was that 90s?
That was 90s. It was early 90s.
Now we're talking.
And again, we're talking about, what the hey, let's do an art movie and pretend it's a murder mystery and never explain anything.
Oh, best TV ever. In studio with me, Wally Podrajic. He's the author, co-author of the book Watching TV. He's also the man behind Watching TV in the 90s, a new display at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk about favorite comedies of the 90s. You got a little poll going on at your Facebook page. Which do you like at home? 312-981-7200. Text in. Let us know what your favorite is. And Seinfeld doesn't count. Sound good? Stay with us. It's Download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman in studio with Wally Podrajic. He's the man behind the new Watching TV in the 90s exhibit at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. He's also the co-author of the book Watching TV. You guys are splitting it up a little bit where you're having some fun, where each month you're gonna focus on a genre of television. So
yeah, it's essentially what I did as curator and writer for the Watching TV in the 90s is I had to tell the whole story. I had to come up with the signature program for each year and then associated programs. Then we created a timeline and such. Great team to execute it in terms of the exhibitry and the graphics and all. And then it's like, all right, we've had our say. Now, come on. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Weigh in. And so what we set up, it's at museum.tv, and you go to that site, the homepage, and there's a little button there. Just click on the button, and then you go to a list. And it's a starter list, and then there's an other line in there.
If I wanted to put Twin Peaks in, I could.
Under comedy, it would be odd, but sure.
There's some funny moments.
You could make that argument.
There's some funny moments.
You can vote for as many as nine. See, again, nine.
Oh, yeah.
Go through, and for instance, if I were going through, you said, well, don't put Seinfeld down. Well, there's plenty of others.
This month you're doing comedies.
This month we're doing comedy. Next month's drama, and then children's TV, and then we're going to do Talked, which will be just about coinciding with the peak of election fever.
Oh, okay. So 312-981-7200. Tell us what you think. 773 said two words, Melrose Place.
okay, that is either comedy. Well, you know, I laughed a lot at that series. That was the spinoff of 90210.
Right, right.
Yes.
Well, let me do this. Let me, as people text in here, let me just do a little word association. You could tell us the significance of the show.
Okay.
In Living Color.
In Living Color. Great series, and here's why. That was at the beginning of the 90s, and at that time the cliche was, you know, comedy variety's dead. You know, nothing new's coming on. Saturday Night Live is tired. Whatever is nothing new's coming. And then In Living Color comes on in 1.5 hour with music and skits
and
dancing.
Fly girls.
And says, you know what? It's not dead. It is so alive, and we're going to tell you jokes you never even thought you'd ever hear on television. My favorite In Living Color episode was when they did the halftime show for a Super Bowl. Now, that is, Fox didn't have the Super Bowl, but In Living Color said, okay, the Super Bowl show is really boring, so come over to us. We're going to have a clock, and we'll tell you when the game starts again. And that was some of the funniest stuff I've
seen. That's something that's been done a lot since. Yeah. All right. Let's let me throw out some other shows as well, as we'll stay in the comedy genre.
Sure.
Let's do the Larry Sanders Show. Now, this came up a lot because of the passing of Gary Shandling, but the Larry Sanders Show is very significant.
Larry Sanders Show is significant because it absolutely got television. It got work. It got the workplace. I mean, essentially, especially for the wrap-up to the Larry Sanders Show, is my boss is screwing me. The company is screwing me. So you know what? I quit on my terms, and I'm going to have a ball for the rest of my run, which they're committed to carry.
Right.
Larry was, but even before that moment, it took the Gary Shandling persona of absolute paranoia and never being certain of yourself and all, and just applied it to the high gloss world of showbiz. And you know what? On camera, he looked like someone who would never have a doubt in the world.
He's just good.
And he was just...
It's such a good... And it was also a good cast. It was a good
parody. It was an across-the-board strong cast. If you're talking about influence, if you're talking about, I want to do another Larry Sanders, is I want to mix reality, perception of reality, with performance, with a killer cast. I mean, you go from the writers on through even the incidental characters, you say, all these people are and will work on some other show later because they're that good. They'll create a show, they'll head a show, they are just brilliant.
Well, there's other shows on here. I'm going to do my list.
Oh, you're
going to
do it.
Okay. Please select up to 9 of your favorite TV comedies from the 90s. So I have a list here, and I'm going to give you mine. But there's other stuff on here as well. You know, we mentioned Seinfeld and Friends, but Ellen was on here. Huge moment for when she came out on TV. Also Will and Grace, which was also a big show for gay themes. Sex and the City, of course. There's a lot of great stuff here. It's unbelievable. Okay, let's see. If I had to pick the 9 off of this list, I would pick Seinfeld. Okay. I would pick Family Guy, which was at the late 90s.
Right at the end of the 90s.
And, you know, that run of the Family Guy was so influential because it does mark, and I don't take away your bit, but as the TV expert, but it does mark one of the only times I can think of where a show was canceled and the fan reaction and also the DVD sales and everything forced the network to bring it back.
Basically, it was like, you know, there's another way of doing this. And it's not the way you've been doing it for the last 50 years.
Yeah, it's pretty great. I would say Ben Stiller Show. Mm-hmm. Ben Stiller, Janine Garofalo, Bob Odenkirk, Andy Dick. Mm-hmm. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air with Will Smith, a young Will Smith. It's a great show.
And one great thing, I saw him, Smith interviewed on a British TV show, and they had him sing the opening song, and the audience sang along with him. And he was astonished
because
they had every beat.
We've talked about In Living Color. We talked about Larry Sanders. I like those two. I also think that it's very underrated as a show because it was primarily an African-American show. But the show Martin with Martin Lawrence,
it's
tremendous.
Yeah.
I watched that on reruns, and he plays different characters on the show. That's one of my favorite shows of all time, Martin. Also, That 70s Show, I think, was pretty good, and I caught that on syndication.
Sure.
When it came through when they started playing it on, you know, 10:30 at night on Fox. And then Mr. Show with Bob and David, which was on HBO, which is one of my favorites of all time. That's a great show.
You have been such a strong advocate of that. And,
right.
And Justin, one of the things that makes it possible for someone like me to look at each decade fresh is to find people who like a show that I may not have heard of or not paid that much attention to. And then I come back to it and say, oh, I get it. If it connected with Justin, there's something there to see.
Mr. Show with Bob and David, for that genre, the idea of a sketch comedy show, it was a show that is still, to this day, unparalleled. And in the comedy circles, when you talk to all the different comedians, even the ones who have their own television shows now, they will go back to that show and be like, that's what influenced me to think outside the box as a comedian. So for this is up till when?
This is up all through the month of July. The comedy, so we're getting a little early start, but just for you, as a matter of fact.
Oh, great, good.
We're working on it this afternoon.
So you can go to museum.tv to vote.
And then go to the little button that's up there.
There's a little button there. You'll find it for the greatest comedies of the 90s. The exhibit's up till the end of the year. Is it open?
Yeah, it's basically open-ended. So let's say the end of the year, and come on over, because what pleases me is that people connect on so many different ways, because it's like the book watching TV. There are different ways of coming to the story. You've got the main narrative, you've got a timeline, you've got artifacts, you've got videos, you've got all of that going at once. And let me stick in one more reference to watching TV, watchingtv.org, if you want to get information about the 8 decades of American television. That is the other 7 apart from the 1990s.
Wally, it's always a pleasure to see you. Thanks for coming in. The author, co-author of Watching TV, which spans all the decades of television, also the Watching TV in the 90s, which is an exhibit that's open now at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. Wally was the writer and curator. Wally, great to see you, buddy.
Great to see you.
All right. Coming up, we're going to talk with Justin Allen about a new media startup he's working on. A couple of texts came in. 847 said, Mad TV with Mike McDonald and Will Sasso. 847 said, Martin was awful. The writing was garbage and the acting was crap. Oh.
Huh. Thank you for expressing your opinion, Justin, that you like it.
No, I just did so. They really nailed it on all ends, you know? Awful. Martin was awful. The writing was garbage. And the acting was crap. What about the sets? You know, like the stuff they wore? 847 says, Home Improvement, Frasier, News Radio, South Park, Seinfeld, Friends, Simpson, Alf, just kidding, In Living Color, Larry Sanders.
It's a great list.
That is a great list. Is there anything we're missing on this stuff? I feel like I've always felt with television programs, and maybe this is with the Martin stuff as well, but I always would latch on to something that wasn't necessarily the darling that everyone was on, and I'd be like, oh, that's my show. Like Reba.
Yeah, Veronica's Closet. Right. Any of the 7:30, 8:30 shows that they would stick between Friends and Seinfeld.
Right. Yeah, you were a single guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Jonathan Silverman. Yeah, of course. Got to.
847 said the sets were okay.
Oh.
I don't know. I don't know. The show that I was really into, which is kind of embarrassing, but I love the show, was Northern Exposure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great show.
Yeah. It was really good. I was way too into it, though. In college, I remember 93, being so into it that I'd have Monday night Northern Exposure parties at my
Yeah, that's a...
I mean, that turned out really, really good for me. You know, like, because that was something that, you know, when you're at school and you're like, yeah, I'm having a Northern Exposure party, you should come by. Like, I was able to get a lot of people who otherwise I wouldn't have,
that's true,
sort of socialized with to come watch this doofusy show on Monday night. Like, it was a thing. It's like my heart was in the right place in the sense that I wanted to grab onto something to love. I'm not sure Northern Exposure was it. Although.
Yeah, that's a fine. Nothing embarrassing about being a Northern Exposure fan.
Boom, 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 boom. All right.